Chapter 1 of Wolves and Children. Father, why am I called Evercloud? You are a mystery, my son, like a cloud that continues forever. No one can see through to what lies on the other side. King Even I sat next to his son and looked at him pensively. He didn't know how old his son was, but Evercloud was beginning to grow as large as some of the humans Even I had seen outside of his kingdom. Even I was king of bears, and as he gazed down at the human boy he called son, his mind wandered back to that fateful night before he was king. He wondered now, as he always did, if he had made the right decision. The night was humid, and fireflies danced between the pines as Even I fished with White Claw, both bears standing in a stream. The kingdom of bears slept peacefully in their caves a couple miles away. It was not common for bears to fish at night in the land of Ephemeraea, at least not for most bears. Even I and White Claw were among the exceptions. Both were large adult bears, not brothers by birth, but just as close. The two were often mistaken as siblings, given they were such good friends and looked so much alike. They were of the same build and had the same black fur. The only obvious difference to someone who didn't know them was the white fur on White Claw's front right paw, hence his name. Both bears held jobs in the kingdom as advisors to King Irontooth. The friends had the same likes and dislikes, even the same hobbies. They counted fishing as their favorite. In fact, they were two of the best fishers in the kingdom. It was very difficult to fish at night, yet the lack of competition produced bountiful catches. The difficulty in night fishing was that you couldn't see what was happening in the water. Because of this, hearing, touch, and instinct were the primary tools for making a catch. Even I and White Claw stood in the stream with their eyes closed, listened to the rush, and felt the water pass through their fur. Together they were a fish-catching team, creating a gate in the stream that the fish had to pass through. The blink of an eye might miss a catch, so they stood like meditating statues attuned to everything around them. A wolf howled in the distance. A squirrel ran over dried leaves. The water continued to rush. White Claw's arm stabbed to the left and came up with the first catch of the night. Then he silently threw it ashore. There was movement on the surface of the water. Even I stabbed to his left and came up with the next catch. He threw his ashore as well and then resumed his position. The bears fished this way until they had caught 20 fish apiece.
"I'm hungry," White Claw said.
"So am I," Even I replied. "Let's be done."
The bears waded out of the water and gathered their catch into sacks they had brought with them. Some of the fish never made it into the sacks, as Even I and White Claw devoured a few of the larger ones immediately. White Claw smacked his lips and grunted in satisfaction. The moon was pale in the sky, and dark clouds were beginning to move across it. A rustling was heard throughout the forest as the wind suddenly picked up.
"Rain comes," Even I said.
"Yes," White Claw agreed.
As the bears fastened the sacks around their necks and began to make their way home, a wolf howled again in the distance. Rain clouds obscured the moonlight, and it became harder to see where they were going. Twigs and branches snapped under their paws, and the wind whipped through their fur. Fortunately, Even I and White Claw could have walked the path home with their eyes closed. They could spend a whole night telling tales of their forays into the forest, and they often did. When they were younger, they had been caught in a blizzard, and were forced to take shelter as it passed. Once it had, they recognized nothing of the forest, and it had taken them almost 2 days to find their way home. On a separate occasion, human hunters had ambushed them on the trail. Even I and White Claw dispatched the humans rather quickly, but not before suffering wounds from their spears. The two bears had encountered far worse than rain and darkness in this forest. These woods were dense and had a thick layer of underbrush. It was a very old forest, with a canopy both high and wide. It was said in the lore of the bear that the elder bears did not choose this forest to build their kingdom, but that the forest chose them to be its protectors. This was passed down as birthright to all bears. Respect the forest. Protect the forest. It was mother to them all. Lightning flashed, thunder rumbled, and it began to rain. White Claw grumbled with displeasure, and then Even I laughed.
"What's the matter?" Even I asked. "We were already wet from the stream." "That was by choice," White Claw replied.
Both bears laughed heartily as lightning flashed across the sky. Then suddenly Even I stopped and perked his ears.
Do you hear that?
He asked.
Hear what? White Claw said. The rain?
No,
Even I said. It sounds like the crying of a human child. Contact with humans was rare, but it had happened enough for most adult bears that they could recognize the crying of a human child. In fact, this was the third time Even I had heard it. The first time had been during a rite of passage young bears impose on one another. In Even I's 10th year, he had been expected to wake humans by running through a nearby village, roaring and causing havoc. The adults disapproved, but the rite continued mostly without their knowledge. Even I did nothing horrible on his rampage, yet he had still heard the cries of many scared children. The second time had been when he stumbled upon a family of humans camping in the forest. Again, the crying had only come from the fear of seeing him. Both bears turned from side to side, trying to locate the sound. But after a moment of listening, the bears agreed the sound was coming from the west. The cries seemed different than the ones Even I remembered.
Should we investigate? He asked.
Why? White Claw said incredulously. So we can feel spears again? Where there is a child, there is sure to be an adult.
I don't hear other humans, Even I said. It sounds as if the child is alone.
And what do you imagine yourself doing? White Claw asked. Consoling the child? Coddling it until its parents return and attack you?
They'll be more aggressive when they see you with their child.
Just then, the crying intensified and was accompanied by loud growls.
Wolves, Even I thought.
I'm going, he said.
Even I dropped his sack and ran.
You fool!
White Claw barked. Even I moved as fast as he could through the forest, though it was difficult in the dark and rain. He didn't know why he felt so compelled to come to the child's aid. He had never done anything like this in his life, yet something inside of him knew it would be wrong to ignore the child's cries. The rain beat against Even I's face and mud caked his paws. His breathing grew heavy and his muscles ached. The cries grew louder and louder, driving him forward. He had to save the child. Just as Even I felt he might never reach the child in time, he broke into a small clearing and found the child tied to the trunk of a tree, surrounded by a pack of 5 hungry wolves. The canines were black against the dark forest. All that could be seen of them were their yellow teeth floating in the abyss. Lightning flashed and illuminated the wolves as it broke across the sky. Their movements were slow and fluid, like snakes closing on unsuspecting prey. Even I watched the wolves creep up on the toddler, saliva hanging from their jaws. The child screamed and seemed to be caked in blood. Even I did the only thing he could think to do. He attacked. The bear rushed forward and rose into the air, roaring with fury. Then he fell down on the first black beast, crushing its skull with his massive paws. The wolves were stunned, and Even I was relentless. He lunged at the next closest wolf, catching its neck in his maw. Then, rising on his hind legs, he shook the wolf and bit down as hard as he could. Its neck snapped, and Even I dropped the wolf's corpse to the forest floor. Now the pack had regained composure, and it was Even I's turn to be caught unaware. They pounced and sunk their yellow teeth into the bear's hide. Even I roared and spun around, shaking one wolf loose from its hold. Ignoring the other teeth in his flesh, he swiped at the dislodged wolf and sent it crashing into a tree at the edge of the clearing. Then, searing pain returned Even I's attention to the wolves tearing at him. He tried to shake them off, but found he could not. The wolves had latched on where it was difficult for him to reach. One wolf was on his back with its teeth at his neck, and the other was on his right side just below his ribs. He swiped at the wolves, but could not hit them with enough strength to knock them away. Then Even I had an idea. He tilted his body to the right and fell, bringing all of his weight down on the wolf at his ribs. He felt the beast go limp beneath his weight and relinquish its hold. The wolf was dead. Still in the battle, Even I tried to roll over and contend with the wolf on his neck, but a massive force hit him and pinned him on his stomach. It was the other wolf he had knocked away earlier, returning to join the fray. Pain shot through the bear's body and blood gushed through his fur. Even I was losing energy, and he feared this might be his final battle. He roared and tried to shake the wolves one more time, but his efforts were futile. The weight on his neck was too much, and he had lost a lot of blood. The canines sat like vultures upon a corpse, their savage teeth now stained with the blood of a would-be hero.
I failed, even I thought, as the screams of the child echoed in his mind. It's over.
Suddenly, he heard a yelp and the fangs were gone from his neck. Even I rolled over to see White Claw with one of the wolves lifeless beneath his paws and the other snarling just a few paces away. Even I thought this last wolf was the largest he had ever seen. Its teeth seemed to pulse as they dripped with blood. For the first time, even I could clearly see the wolf's eyes, and they were afire. This beast did not know fear. Its only purpose was to kill. White Claw rose up on his hind legs and roared as the wolf jumped for his throat. Swiftly, the bear knocked the wolf out of the air and pinned it to the ground with his mighty white paw. Then White Claw clamped onto the wolf's head with his jaws and tore its head clean from its body. The battle was over. Even I slowly rose and walked to his friend.
Thank you, my brother, Even I said. I owe you my life.
White Claw looked at Even I and nodded. Then he gazed back over his shoulder at the small child still tied to the tree. The toddler was no longer crying, and as Even I approached, he noticed it was a boy. He could also see it was indeed blood covering the front of the child. The bear looked the boy over and could see no wound. He stood momentarily perplexed and then bent down to lick the blood.
Boar's blood, the bear said. It's not the child's blood.
So? White Claw replied, now standing next to Even Eye.
So? Even Eye answered. That means someone tied this child to the tree and put boar's blood on it to attract the wolves.
The bears were disgusted by the atrocity before them. White Claw was the first to speak, and his voice was laced with compassion that Even Eye rarely heard from him.
We should take the child to a human village so it can be cared for properly, White Claw said.
We can't do that, Even I replied. My friend, White Claw pleaded, I admit it. I was wrong earlier. We cannot leave this boy to die in the woods just to protect our own skins.
That's not what I meant, Even I said.
Then what are you saying? White Claw asked.
I will take the child home with me, Even I said. The humans don't want it. It was obviously left here to die. I won't see this boy put back into harm's way. It wouldn't be the right thing to do. I'm taking him.
Even I, that's madness, White Claw said, his eyes widening. You don't know what you're saying. The wolves have injured you, and you're not well. You can't keep this boy.
Even I took his claw and cut the rope binding the child to the tree. The boy sniffled but didn't cry. Either from shock, fear, or the fact that he was just too exhausted, the child didn't make another sound. Even I took hold of the little boy, put him upon his back, and turned for home. High above the tree line of the forest stood Gray Mountain, home of the bears. No fires burned inside the mountain's caves. It was late in the night, and everyone slept. The solitary light that came from the mountain was the Everflame. It burned upon its pyre in the highest tower of King Irontooth's castle. The Everflame had burned as long as any living bear could remember, and long before that. It burned as a reminder of all the bears were, and also of the elder bears who came before them. The Everflame was a symbol of every bear's spirit. It was the heart of each of them and their kingdom. White Claw and Even Eye could see the Everflame's light through the trees as they approached their mountain home. The rain had continued to fall during the journey, washing the blood from Even Eye's fur as well as from the boy. As they stood at the foot of the mountain, the rain finally abated, and White Claw shook off some of the moisture that soaked him. He carried both fish sacks while Even Eye carried the boy. The bear's eyelids grew heavy, and the child now slept on Even Eye's back. It had been a long night, and they were eager to see it end. Different paths led to their respective caves, and they exchanged only a nod to each other as they parted. White Claw watched Even Eye as he walked away. Even Eye was like a brother to him. It hadn't even been a choice to follow him as he ran toward the crying child. It hadn't been a choice to save his life. He loved Even Eye, and now he was afraid for him. This boy would bring scandal, and Even Eye's life would never be the same. Even Eye entered his cave as his wife, Goldenheart, slept. She breathed easily and did not stir. Even I removed the sleeping boar from his back and wrapped him in a blanket. The bear stared at the boy's tiny features. What have I done? Even I thought. He laid the child in a dry corner deep inside the cave, hoping that if the boy awoke and began to cry, the sound would not carry. He felt ashamed that he was hiding the toddler, but his earlier bravery had left, and he was fearful of what the morning might bring. Even I quietly dressed his wounds and then rested next to his wife. Despite his fear, he quickly fell asleep. Many dreams would come to Even I this night. Dreams of wolves and children, as well as dreams of being abused by the harsh words of other bears. However, only one dream would endure in his memory, just one solitary image, a man made only of lightning. Panic washed over Even I as he awoke the next morning. There was a child in his home. A human boy. He quickly rose up and saw something that shook him to his core. His wife sat on the floor of the cave, throwing a stick and then watching as the small boy retrieved it and brought it back to her. They were playing fetch. Even I had no idea how old the boy was. 2 years? Maybe three? He wasn't adept at guessing human age. The child was young enough that he couldn't speak, only shriek with glee every time Goldenheart threw the stick. Even I watched them in shock, unable to move or speak. Even, why am I playing fetch with a human boy in our home? Goldenheart asked so simply that it seemed to Even I he must still be asleep and dreaming. Even I stumbled over everything he tried to say. His mind was swimming. He was what? Goldenheart asked. Where did you find him? And goodness, Even, where did you get those wounds? The wolves and the little boy tied to the tree appeared in Even Eye's mind. Soon the anger he had felt toward the wolves returned. The emotion was sobering and snapped him out of his daze. He was in the forest. He was in trouble. I did what I had to do. Even Eye regained his composure and recounted the events of the prior night. He paused after the battle with the wolves to show Goldenheart his injuries, then continued to explain his decision to bring the boy back to the mountain. I didn't know what else to do. So you intend to keep this child? Goldenheart asked, her voice conveying her disbelief. The king won't allow this, Even. We should sneak the child out of here tonight and return it to the village. No one else needs to know about this. Whiteclaw will keep our secret. I will take the child to the king's court today and explain to him what happened. Even I said with a steady voice. I will show him I did the right thing. He will see we cannot return the child to the humans. They tried to kill him. I am afraid, Even, Goldenheart said as she looked down at the boy. He was sitting on the floor with the stick in his hands, staring up at the massive bear who had helped save his life. The little boy cocked the stick back and then bounced it off of Even Eye's nose. The child erupted with laughter, and Goldenheart followed suit. Well, she said between laughs, he is entertaining. Goldie, Even I said, I'm a very respected bear in this kingdom. I'm a member of the council that advises King Irontooth. He will listen to me. I'll go after breakfast. You'll see. Everything will be all right. Goldenheart looked at her husband with love in her eyes and smiled. I hope so, Even. I hope so.